Excuse me, but 2 Samuel chapter number 11. We're going to start in verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Amnon and besieged Raba, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, and for she was purified from her uncleanness. And he returned unto her, or she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, 'I am with child.'" Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy in our life. I pray, Father, that you have it behind the cross of Calvary, Lord, that you'd use me for your glory. I pray, Lord, tonight you'd speak directly to our hearts. Lord, I don't want to preach my message tonight. Lord, I want to preach what the Word of God is telling us tonight, Lord. Help us to have a clear thought, a clear mind this evening. And Lord, we'll give you the glory, we'll give you the praise. Lord, help us to listen on purpose and apply it to our everyday life. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I bet if you asked David if there was one chapter in the Bible that you could take out from his life, it would probably be chapter number 11. And why would you say that, preacher? Because if we know what takes place, we just read about it tonight. And if there's one blemish on David's record, it's right here in 2 Samuel chapter number 11. It is that action that he takes with Bathsheba. And it's amazing. You would say, why would he want that out? Because the previous chapters, we've learned a lot about David. We could go back to his early days. We could see his great faith and his great strength when he stood before Goliath. We could see his wisdom and with how he dealt with Saul and how he managed that relationship. We could see his courage in front of Goliath. We can see his kindness on display in the previous two chapters. He was trying to be kind to Hanun. He was kind to Mephibosheth. And those are great chapters. We see a lot about David. We see his genuineness when he worshiped before the Lord. And he brought back the Ark of the Covenant back there to Jerusalem. We could see all of that tonight. But when we get to chapter number 11, we see David's sinful human nature. The same one that me and you possess, our flesh. When it has its way, when we give in to it and we don't crucify it, we don't deal with it like the scriptures tell us to, we see the result of that in David's life here tonight in chapter number 11 of 2 Samuel. And so tonight, I'm preaching on this thought of you're not helping yourself out. You're not helping yourself out tonight. We see a man's sin nature. We see the results of living fleshly. Here's a good transitional statement for you. Those of y'all that have ever been to Bible college know what I'm talking about tonight. It says every Christian should learn from David's chapter number 11 because you'd be foolish not to. I ain't giving no points or anything like that, but we'd be foolish not to read this. And I always make the statement, turn anywhere, it's all good. And no doubt tonight we could look at chapter number 11 and we'll say, hey, that ain't a good thing that happened. That might not have been a good thing, but thanks be to God, it's in the Word of God because me and you can learn from it. We don't have to make the same choices, the same mistakes that David did here in chapter number 11. We can serve the Lord, we can live spiritually. We don't have to give into our flesh tonight. And so tonight we're going to look at three thoughts concerning what's taking place here in chapter number 11. And really, if you put it into a nutshell this evening, was David sinned and how he dealt with it. How David decided to deal with his own actions tonight. But I want you to know, number one tonight, we can ask the question, how did David get in this situation? How did David get to the place where he committed this act with Bathsheba? And he's caused this great problem now in Israel. Well, how did David get there? Can I say David didn't get there by accident? David didn't fall into this. David made some deliberate choices in verses 1 through 5 tonight that led him to where he was. You've probably heard people debate on this chapter on whose fault was it? Was it David's fault? Or was it Bathsheba's fault? I've heard messages preached that Bathsheba ought not have been out there bathing herself like that. And I've heard messages preached that David, it's all David's fault tonight. Can I say tonight that I think you can look at both these people, and along the way, they both made a bad decision along the way. But can I say tonight, if we're going to hold it true this evening, look how God looks at accountability and leadership tonight, we'd have to look at David and say, David was the instigator. David brought this on. And now there was a time and place where Bathsheba should have said no. But could you imagine what she was facing tonight? I'm not trying to excuse what she did. But she's facing the king. It's not like it is today. If you didn't do what the king said, you very well could die. But here we see that David here, he's the king of Israel. He's the leader. He's the man of authority. He's the man that God is going to hold accountable. And so we see here tonight that really David is the one, because of his decisions, gets himself into this place, and David should have said no long before he ever seen Bathsheba. Can I say tonight that David realistically shouldn't have even been there? So we're going to look at this tonight, and here's the thing tonight. Anytime me and you try to blame somebody else for our sin and our actions, we're not dealing with it properly. It is personal accountability tonight. You can say, well, preacher, they did this and they did that. And because of what they did what I did. No, you did what you did because that's what you wanted to do. And we have to keep that in our forefront of our mind tonight, that we are accountable for our actions. We are accountable for our sins this evening. What me and you choose to do, we will stand and we'll have to give an account for this evening. I also believe the whole scenario, realistically, David didn't have to have this in chapter number 11. Chapter 11 could have played out a whole lot. It could have been a whole lot shorter. It could have been a way different story. This was avoidable tonight. Oh, how do you know that, preacher? Because God promised to always provide us an escape. Whenever temptation comes into our life, whenever those things come into our life, God has always promised us an escape. But here tonight, we see David didn't take it. David didn't give the escape that was given him tonight. And we see here some steps tonight of how David got in this situation. Notice not number one this evening, but under number one, there was a negative responsibility. There was a negative responsibility. Verse number one, the Bible says, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle. The time when kings go forth to battle. So we have to ask ourselves, who's the king? David is. Where was David supposed to be at? Battle. He was supposed to be there. He was supposed to be amongst his men. And somewhere along the line, maybe David thought, I've been kind enough. I've done enough good. I've brought the Ark of the Covenant back. I've reestablished the kingdom. I deserve a break. And instead of going and taking on the responsibility that has been given to him by God, he sits back and sends Joab and all the mighty men of Israel. And the Bible says that David stayed back. David stayed home. David didn't go to where his responsibility was. He tarried still at Jerusalem. And can I say this? And you say, preacher, that's not a big deal. It's just one small thing that David didn't do, that David should have done, but he chose not to do. That's not that big of a deal. But look where he ends up at. So we have to see tonight that when God puts things in our life, God gives us responsibilities, God puts people in our life, God desires something out of us, the greatest thing me and you can do as a Christian is learn to obey God, even when it is against the convenience of our life. Can I say it was probably a lot more convenient for David to hang out in the palace than it was to battle? I've never fought a battle in biblical times, and I don't know what it's like, but I don't think it was fun. I don't think it was necessarily an enjoyable experience. And yet here David says, you know what? No, I'm the king. I'm supposed to go to battle, but I'm going to stay home. I'm going to stay in Jerusalem. I'm going to tell you there. So there was negated responsibility. When we choose convenience over responsibility, we are setting ourselves up. We are setting ourselves up to get in a mess like David did. So his first step, he negated his responsibility. Then notice under that, there was an extended glance. There was an extended glance. Look at verse number 2. And it came to pass in the evening time that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was beautiful to look upon. Which is what I find interesting. The Bible never condemns Bathsheba for her actions. It never says what she was doing was wrong. And you say, preacher, how can that not be wrong? How is that? We shower in private. And can I say tonight, that ought to be a private experience. in our life, we have to understand the customs of that day and age aren't like they are today. And I kind of got a different glance at that when I was in Albania. And you see, I very well can see how they would do that and why they would do that that way that she was doing it this evening. And so the Bible never condemns Bathsheba for her actions. But can I say tonight, when David, I want you to know, how do you know there was an extended glance? Because David was able to discern, not only was this a woman that was bathing, said she was beautiful. Said she was beautiful. It's kind of like me and you in our life. Can I say, I wish I could say we could control temptation in our life. That it's not just going to pop up in our life. That's typically how it works. We're going down, we're just going about our day, and something will come in front of us. Something will come before our eyes. And if we're not careful, we'll, instead of looking at it and saying, oh, I'm not supposed to look at that, I'm going to look away from that, or I'm not going to participate in that. We stare at it, and we stare at it, and we stare at it, thinking, it's not going to have an effect on me, but it does. One of the hardest things I had to do in Albania when we were walking the boardwalks and things like that, trying to find somewhere for my eyes. What do you mean, preacher? Everywhere you look, just about. Unless you were looking down at your feet or up at the sky, you had to be careful because it was everywhere. It was just, that was the culture there and all that kind of stuff. So I'm trying my best not to focus on that. And here David, when he's seen it, he should have said, oh, I'm not supposed to look at that. That it's not right for me to look at that. But instead, David stares at it and realizes not only is it a woman bathing, but she's beautiful. And so now he's extended his glance. We get into trouble and we allow the shock to turn into satisfaction. What should have shocked him, now he's enjoying it. Now he's gazing upon it. David just kept looking. He should have went back inside, repented, grabbed his stuff, and went to the battlefield. That's what he should have did. But instead, he just continues to stare and enjoy what's going on in front of him. So there's an negated responsibility that put him in the wrong place. There was an extended glance. He got focused on the wrong thing. Then I want you to notice tonight, there was an unnecessary inquiry. Look at verse number 3. And David sent and inquired after the woman. What business does David have doing that? None. None whatsoever. Preacher, you sound like you're being tough on David and I. Listen, you got to be tough on sin. You can't give it an inch. You can't give it a small space in your life, because if you do that, it's going to take more and more and more. And so with David, he's in the wrong place at the wrong time, not because God has placed him there, but because he's chose to be there. He's negated his responsibility. He's enjoyed this vision that's going on in front of him. He's enjoying it. He's extended his stare at it, and now he's asking, who is that? Does anybody know? What? David didn't need to know that. There was no need for David to know that evening in his life. And so he has an unnecessary inquiry. All of David's good men must have been all fighting somewhere. Because somebody should have stood up and said, David, that ain't none of your business. Can I say, good friends are great things to have. When somebody calls you out in the right way and for the right reason, it's one of the best things that could ever happen to you. When somebody said, hey, we don't do that. You ought not to do that. You ought not to do those things. So there was this unnecessary inquiry. Anytime we inquire further in our flesh, it only leads to a worse situation. For instance, on your phone, it's amazing. You could be on YouTube listening to Christian music and enjoying the goodness of God, and an ad will pop up. And you're thinking, what in the world? Where did this come from? An ungodly ad, talking about ungodly things. I can't find the button fast enough half the time. Well, it's playing on the TV in my house or my phone. I want to get away from it. I don't want that in my home. I don't want that in my life. And so tonight, but if I sit there and stare at it, before you know it, my mind is going to be a million miles away from where it's supposed to be, where God desires it to be. Well, preacher, that's not my problem. I don't watch YouTube. What about listening to gossip? The first time we hear, we ought to say, I ain't listening to this. I'm going to leave. Well, preacher, if I walk out in the middle of the conversation, they're going to think I'm being rude. Well, you have to weigh your pros and cons there. Would you rather have a right mind before God or be somebody's friend, so to speak? And so now here, David, he's in the wrong place because he's negated responsibility. When he should have just covered his eyes and went back inside, he doesn't. He stares. Then he has this unnecessary inquiry. He had no need to know who that was upon the top of the house that night. But instead he goes and he asks, they say, it's Bathsheba, and he calls for her. And he calls for somewhere along the line, David had to override his conscience. David was a man after God's own heart. David knew right between wrong. We've watched David stand for right over and over and over again, and now he's letting his flesh win, and now he's in a place that he probably never dreamed that he'd be in. Now we've watched David. David's had multiple wives. Remember, he'd win victory, he'd get a wife. But this is different. David never went after another man's woman, so to speak. She was already married to Uriah. Matter of fact, last time this happens, David waited for the man to die before he ever went after that other lady. I can't think of her name this evening. And so a negated responsibility, an extended glance, an unnecessary inquiry, and then there's unchangeable consequences. Unchangeable consequences. Look at verse number 4. And David sent messengers and took her, and she came into him and lay with her, and she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. One small negated responsibility and bad choices after that. Now look what David's in. He's in a consequence. See, here's the thing. You'll pick your sin, but you will not pick your consequences. You'll pick what you want to do, but you don't know what the consequences are. You say, oh, preacher, I'll get away with it. You're not 100% sure about that. Here's the thing, you'll never get away with sin. Why? Because if a thrice holy God lives inside of you, he's not going to allow sin to hang out there and not deal with it. That's who he is, that's what he does. Because of the steps that David had taken, he now has a complete and total mess on his hands. Not only is he's the king of Israel, he's supposed to be the leader, he's supposed to be the example, and now he's got Bathsheba pregnant, who's already married to one of his mighty men. So David's got himself in a mess this evening. Let me ask you tonight, how many steps are you willing to take in the wrong direction? How far are you willing to go to satisfy your flesh? What kind of consequences are you willing to live with to satisfy your flesh this evening? At which step are you going to turn around before you find yourself in a mess like David did? So notice number one, we see how David got here. Bad choices. One after another, after another, after another. So number two, how does David handle the situation? How does David handle this situation? Remember, the thought for tonight is you're not helping yourself out. David didn't help himself out with his bad choices. And if he's already made bad choices, he's fixing to make a whole lot more of them. He's not helping himself out tonight. Here's how David should have handled this situation. Openly and honestly. With repentance. With the hope for restoration. How he should have handled it. But that's not what David did. Here's how David handled the situation. He tried to cover it up. And I heard Brother David Gibbs say it one time. He said, the only way you can cover up sin as me and you is with more sin. We can't do it now. We can't fix the problem by ourselves. That's why God gave us the avenue of repentance in the Word of God so we could get these things right. We could deal with them properly this evening. And here's the thing. If you're ever around somebody, and I'm not saying you got to go run around and tell everybody's faults and failures, but if you're ever around somebody who is knowingly doing wrong, that you observed with your own eyes, and when they come to you and you say, hey, we're going to cover this up, run. Run as fast as you can, because they will trap you in it as well. You have to deal with sin properly tonight. And here, David, he does not do that. Notice in his initial plan in verses 6 through 11, he calls for Uriah from the battlefield. Hey, Uriah, come home. Come home, Uriah. And he's thinking to himself, well, if I can get Uriah home quick enough, he can go into Bathsheba, and everybody will think it's his baby. No problems here. His initial plan is a quick cover-up. Only thing is, David wasn't planning on dealing with a man of character like Uriah was. Why? What do you mean by that, preacher? Uriah comes home, and he doesn't go home. He lays down outside of his house, and he doesn't go in to his wife, and he doesn't do all that. David's thinking, what's wrong with you? Uriah, why won't you go and visit your wife? And Uriah says, well, my men in the ark are intense tonight. If they're intense, it wouldn't be right for me to do that. So Uriah chooses not to do that. And David's saying, well, no, you've got to go in. You've got to do this. You've got to help clear my name. Well, he doesn't tell Uriah that, but that's David's thinking. So his initial plan fails. So what's he do? He comes up with a worse plan. Look at verse 12 and 13. What does David do? He gets Uriah drunk. Look at verse number 12. And David said to Uriah, tarry here today also. And, I lost my spot. Tarry today also and tomorrow, and I will let thee apart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And even at evening, he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his house. He went down to his, or he went not down to his own house. So here's Uriah. David said, all right, I tried to do this the easy way. Now I'm going to get you drunk, and you're not going to know what you're doing, but you're going to go home out of habit, and you're going to make this all better for me. Uriah doesn't do it. The Bible says he lays down with the servants. He doesn't go to his own house. So his initial plan doesn't work. His worst plan doesn't work. What does David do? He comes up with his worst plan. His worst plan. Verse number 14. David said, listen, if I can't get Uriah to fix the problem, I'll just fix Uriah. I'll get Uriah out of the picture. Look where David's at now. He's now in premeditated murder out of one negated responsibility. Oh, preacher, ain't that big of a deal. I guarantee you, if David was here tonight, he'd say, oh, it is. It is. David has learned from this mistake. And can I say tonight before, and we'll get into it next week, David does get this right. And so you're saying here tonight, no, preacher, I'm with David tonight. I've made a bad decision. I keep making bad decisions. Preacher, is there any hope for me? Yes, there is. And there's a right way to do it this evening. But David comes up with his worst plan. I'll just have Uriah killed. What started as negated responsibility now is turning into murder. Covering up sin never makes the situation better. Keep that in your mind tonight as you live your Christian life. When me and you do wrong, the worst thing we could do is try to cover it up. Because it's just going to lead to more sin and more sin and more sin and more sin tonight. We got to deal with it right and properly this evening. So we see his worst plan. There's a devastating effect. 18 through 26, he writes this letter to Joab and gives it to Joab through a messenger, which tells Joab to take Uriah and put him in the heat of the battle so he knows for sure that Uriah will die. And so he sends that to the letter. Can you imagine being Joab? Joab reads and thinking, man, what in the world did Uriah do? He must have made the king mad. Last time I knew he was eating at the king's house. What did he do? He must have said something to offend him. So he takes Uriah and he puts him in that place in battle. And Uriah dies in the battle. David's plan in his mind, think this works now. And you say, here's the problem with it. Notice how David's changed. Remember, we've read about David who was willing to stand and defend Saul even after Saul had tried to take his life, who had other people killed when they had tried to do things the wrong way. David was a righteous man. He stood righteous for the majority of his life. But now here, he's celebrating the death of Uriah. He's grateful for the death of Uriah. Look at verse number 19 through 21. Uriah dies. And Joab sends a messenger back to David and tells him, hey, tell David this is how the battle's going. And if he seems upset of how it's going, just tell him Uriah died. That's what he says in verse number 21. Who smote up Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, did not a woman cast out a piece of a millstone from him, from the wall, and he died in Thebez. Why went you not out of the wall? Then say thou, thy servant Uriah, the Hittite, is dead also. Tell him that Uriah's dead. He'll be okay with that. If David gets mad, just tell him Uriah's dead. That'll cheer him up. Could you imagine that tonight? Being so far down in this hole that Uriah or that David's in, that he's excited that somebody died. One of his mighty men died. And so here, Uriah's death is seen as good news. In verses 23 to 25, David fakes sympathy. He fakes sympathy. Look at verse number 22. The servant shows up and the messenger shows up and tells David all that's gone on. Look at verse number 25. Then David said unto the messenger, thou shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee. For the sword devoureth one as well as another. Oh, poor Uriah. Oh, but you know, it's just how battles go. A sword will kill one man and it'll kill another. It must have just been Uriah's time. Here's David, a man after God's own heart. And over here, he's acting like he's actually sad about it. Oh, I can't believe Uriah died, poor fella. But that's how battle goes. Here's the thing about when me and you try to live in covering up our sin, we have to be fake. We have to be fake. We can't live in a lifestyle of covering up our sin and not dealing with it properly. We can't live that way and be excited and be joyful. Because if we're living in a cover-up, we're not having fellowship with God. And he's the source of our joy and the source of our peace and our strength this evening. And so when me and you are living this way and we're not dealing with our sin like God told us to deal with it, we'll have to live a fake Christian life. That's what David's doing. He's acting like he really cares about Uriah. Now, if he really cared about Uriah, he would have been man to him and said, "Hey, listen, here's what I did. I'm so sorry about this. We've got to figure out a way to make this right." It's not what David does. David tries to cover it up. So we see David's fake sympathy. The danger of living a cover-up, you'll have to fake everything. In Bathsheba's tragedy, verse number 26, when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. Uriah, I believe Bathsheba loved Uriah. I believe they had a good relationship. I believe that maybe she thought, "Man, I made a mistake, but maybe I'll be able to reason with Uriah when he comes home." And maybe Uriah was the kind of man, we already seen right here, he's a man of character, he's a man of integrity, he's a man of honesty, he's a man who cares greatly about what he's doing. She said, "Maybe if I can just talk with him, we can work this out. It might be a big hurdle, but maybe we can make it over us together." But she finds out Uriah's dead. And the Bible says she mourns for Uriah. Here's David, oh, poor fella, that's what happens in battle. Here's Bathsheba, and she's clearly upset about it, that her husband has died. And so we see here tonight, one, how David got here. We see how David tries to handle it. And at this point, David's probably taking deep breaths. Whew, made it through. All that's left for me to do now is to marry Bathsheba. And nobody will ever know. Let me ask you tonight, how far are you willing to go and who are you willing to hurt to keep your sins covered up this evening? Boy, it's hit big right now. Most of you may have never heard of it and might not heard of it this evening, but it seems like it's one person after another in what we would call the independent Baptist. Now listen, we are an independent Baptist church this evening, but we're not part of any kind of fellowship. We don't answer to nobody else but the Lord this evening. But I've seen here recently of people that we know and people you might have heard of. It seems like this is one thing after another, one person after another, and there's this lack of accountability. It's their fault. It's their fault. It's their fault. Can I say this evening, it's high time we as Christians learn to be accountable for our actions. If we're ever going to fix it, we loved it when it was happening to the Catholic Church. Look at those people. But what's inside our own circle, so to speak, we need to be quiet about that. We don't need to hurt the church. No, you need to deal with that stuff. It needs to be dealt with properly and in the right way this evening. But we see here Bathsheba's tragedy, her husband's dead. Let me ask you, how far are you willing to go? And who are you willing to hurt to keep your sins covered up this evening? So we see how David got there, negated responsibility. It wasn't because David was a crazy man. David was a man. Here's the thing, preacher. You say, "Oh, preacher, I'll never do that." You have the same flesh David does. You mean you have that same nature, that old man, he's still there. We still have to battle that this evening. We still have to deal with that. So me and you to step back on our hobby horses, our soapbox, that's what I'm talking about, our soapbox tonight, say, "I'll never do that." By the grace of God, I don't ever want to do that, but I know that's what I'm capable of tonight. And so are you. So what we need to do is we need to put protections in place like David should or be responsible to places God's called us to and what God wants us to do this evening, find ourselves being faithful, knowing that if we're following after God, God's not going to lead us in the wrong direction. And so we see how David got there. We see how David handled it. He tried to cover it up, and he made it worse. Verse number 27, when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. David said, "I've got it figured out. It's covered up. Nobody knows about it." Here's the thing. If you think about it this way, and so notice number 3, how the Lord viewed the situation. How the Lord viewed the situation. But in David's eyes, it's fine with. It's been covered up. Nobody's ever going to know. And at best, Joab can speculate. Joab could try to put the pieces together. He's like, Uriah went there, and then he sent Uriah. He had Uriah killed, and all of a sudden he's married Uriah's wife. Joab could have said, "That's weird," but he lacked that evidence, that concrete evidence. All he could come up to King David with was saying, "Well, this is weird that it happened this way," and David probably said, "I don't know, it's strange, ain't it?" And so he probably thought, "The best anybody has against me is speculation. Nobody can catch me on this. Nobody knows what I've done. Nobody knows my actions. They don't have any concrete evidence. Therefore, my case is bulletproof." David probably went home that night and said, "It's all covered up. Nobody will ever know." But notice this tonight. You look at verse number 27. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. displeased the Lord. A man after God's own heart has now displeased the Lord. But in his eyes, David said, I'm fine. I'm okay. It's covered up. It's dealt with. Nobody, will ever find out about it this evening. He just forgot to think about the Lord, who knows all and knows everything. And it displeased the Lord. David must have been pleased with himself, but God was displeased with him. It was the Lord this evening. I don't want to displease the Lord. I want to please him tonight. I don't know about you. I want to please him. I want to have a lie. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want to live my life for my flesh thinking nobody knows about it. Nobody will ever hear about it. Nobody will ever find out about it. And can I say tonight, I'm glad for the blood of Christ this evening. I'm glad that our past is behind us this evening. But here's the thing, David knew better. And me and you that are saved by the grace of God, we cannot commit a sin without saying the Holy Ghost dealt with us first. Because he's faithful to do that this evening. But when me and you, the Bible's real clear, be sure your sin will find you out. And so tonight, if me and you have as a saved individual, are living a life of cover-up, we can guarantee one day it's going to come to light. But if we deal with it properly, yes, God will deal with it and God will forgive it and God will reestablish that fellowship with us again this evening. But instead, when me and you try to cover it up, really, I think what we're doing is we're about to bring it to light. And God will bring it to light. And so we don't want to displease the Lord. We want to please him tonight. So preacher, how can I do that? By dealing with my sin like he tells me to. By dealing with my sin like he tells me to. Repent, deal with it properly, and don't cover it up tonight. Don't cover it up tonight. Was it chapter 11? Isn't that bankruptcy when you file it? Here's David. He's thought he's got it all together. And really, he's bankrupt. He's bankrupt himself this evening. Because he's done all of this. The lengths that he's gone to. The strings that he's pulled. The calls that he's made. And none of it pleased the Lord. None of it did. All that he's gone through. None of it has pleased the Lord tonight. And here's the thing. We could have the best foolproof plan in our mind that nobody will ever find out. And we'll go to great lengths. We'll pull great strings, do all that kind of stuff. And when it's all said and done, yeah, God ain't going to like it. God will not be pleased with it. And all that we did will burn up at the judgment seat of Christ. And so now I've got to ask you this tonight. Is there anything in your life tonight that the Lord's dealt with you and the Lord's told you this isn't right and you said, no, I'm going to do it anyways? And then you're trying to cover it up. Now, listen, you don't have to stand up and confess it to me tonight. You confess that to the Lord. You get that right with God. You deal with it properly this evening, but quit covering up if you are. Because you're not helping yourself out. You're not helping yourself out at all tonight. Deal with it properly this evening. We see how David got there. He negated his responsibility. We see how he handled it. He tried to cover it up. We see how the Lord viewed it. He said, I ain't pleased with it. I ain't pleased with it. But I want to deal with even the things that I do bad. I want to deal with them right. The Lord might be pleased with me. That I came to him in the right way, in the right fashion. That he restored that fellowship between me and him again this evening. So if you got that in your life tonight, quit covering it up. You are not helping yourself out. Deal with it properly tonight. Let's all stand this evening, every head bowed, every eye closed.